Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Happy Human Club. I'm Soph Mosca. I'm the host of this podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And I honestly didn't think we were going to have a podcast episode this week because I would have been at training to become a spin instructor. But I honestly really don't want to talk about it much on here. But if you guys are curious as to why I'm not there, go ahead and watch my most recent vlog. It was the vlog where I vlogged like you guys were on my private story, which, fun fact, I don't even have a private story. But yeah, so basically, I really don't feel like explaining it. I explain it in like the very beginning of that video. I'm not like just saying that so that you guys will go and watch, but you can go and like the first few minutes is when I talk about it. But basically, I was just having a really hard time managing my blood sugar during the training and decided it was not my place. So I went home early after the first day after a mental breakdown, and have ended up having a couple of days to myself, which was unexpected because so I was supposed to be there Wednesday through Friday and then Saturday morning early, and the training wasn't until like didn't stop until like 6:30 p.m. and then I had to drive like 2 hours home from Orlando. And then the next morning, like Saturday morning, I'm going to West Palm because this weekend is one of my best friend Bree's birthday and I'm going to be there till Monday. So I dropped Augie off at a sitter Tuesday night because he was going to be there Tuesday night through Monday. And I left the training early and considered going and picking him up, but it would have been for like 24 hours and he hates the car or gets really sick in the car. So I was like, it's just that'd be so stupid and just like so much on him. So I've had the last 2 days, Thursday and today's Friday, completely to myself. And my God, do I miss that little sucker. But it has been nice to like have a legit complete break. It has felt really good. I've been really, really productive, and I don't know, it just felt good to like have a second. And I feel like a mom who like sends their kid to daycare for the first time. Like, I miss the absolute crap out of him, but it does feel good to like breathe for a sec. And it's starting to make me realize I think I owe it to myself to maybe put him in daycare a couple times a week, like just so that I, for my own sanity, like have a couple days during the week where I just like can have my time and like not be worried about him all the time, because I'm a big worrier about him, you guys know. So I don't know, something I'm considering, but I can't wait to freaking squeeze him. It's only Friday, I don't see him till Monday, but I miss that little boy. Anywho, hi, welcome to this episode. Before I jump in, I just want to shout out my socials for a sec. So you guys can follow me at Soph Mosca on every platform except Snapchat's SOPHERRR, and I'm trying to get that changed, but somebody has at Soph Mosca on Snapchat. So if you are at Soph Mosca and you're listening, can you change your username? Because I really want it. I'm like working on it through Snapchat, but it like is a process. So we'll see if I get it. But those are my socials, and you guys are definitely gonna wanna follow me because I have some things in the works, some projects, some new content type things, just a lot of fun stuff in the works as always. So make sure you guys are following me on everywhere else, especially Snapchat. I've been probably the most active on Snapchat out of every platform. Like, I kind of spam Snapchat, so definitely go and follow me on there. But today I have a few questions from you guys. A while back I asked for questions on my Instagram story, and I'm just getting around to recording this. And so was this past Monday? Maybe it was just this past Monday, but it feels like it was so long ago. But I screenshotted a handful of questions, and I haven't looked at them since. I don't even remember what they are. I haven't thought about my answers. So we're going to, on the spot, answer some of these questions from you guys. But again, this is a reason why you should follow me on my other social media so that you can participate in things like this. But I'm pretty sure I screenshotted like a whole range of questions. Like, it's not specific to anything. So buckle up, grab a little coffee if you're listening to this in the morning. Maybe an afternoon pick-me-up. I'm having my afternoon pick-me-up. It's literally 4 p.m. and I'm having a cold brew, but I was just craving one. I think I want to go for like a long walk somewhere after I finish recording this. So we shall see if I end up doing that, because I feel like I always say that and then never do it. But yeah, okay. Let's just hop right in. The first question is, where are the majority of your clothes from / your favorite clothing brands? So whenever I'm looking for clothes, like, I just want to be comfy, and that results in me not having the most like insane jaw-dropping style. But if it's one thing, like, one thing about me is that I'm gonna be comfortable. Even like if I'm gonna wear something crazy and cute, like, it has to be at least somewhat comfortable or else I'm miserable. Like, actually, fun fact, I'm like a very like finicky person. Whoa, you guys, that was weird. You're gonna think I'm fucking crazy, but I saw this. I'm like very like, I'm like convinced I'm a witch, all this crazy stuff. Okay, anyways, I had a video call on my For You page, and it was this lady, and she was like, she's like a, what is she? Like a, basically she gives you a word or a thing or a person or a place or whatever, and she gives it to you, and she's like, you're gonna see this word, you're gonna see, like, have this word or whatever, but just wait to see how it plays out, but this word is going to appear in your life, stuff like that. And this was like 2 weeks ago, and the word was finicky. I've never fucking used the word finicky before in my life. That was fucking wild. Okay, that just like popped out of my mouth. That means I'm on the right path. Anyways, yeah, I'm like a very finicky person. Like, when I was little, there could not be a tag in my shirt. Like, if there was a tag, I made my mom cut it out. My parents still quote it, because I'd always be like, tag. Like, I would just be like, tag. Get the tag out. Like, I refused. I could not wear anything that had the tag in it still. And like, I can't wear that specific Sherpa fabric that like my skin gets caught on, or like my cuticles get caught on. I can't wear that. If anything's like tight around my neck, I can't do that. If anything's tight around my arms, I can't do that. If anything's too tight around my ribs, I can't do that. Like, I'm very like picky, and it goes with like just why I like to be comfortable, because if it's pulling or pushing or tugging or restricting in any way, I can't do it. I can't think about anything else other than that. So that is what is the basis of the clothes I look for and the brands I shop at. So I would say where I get the majority of my clothes are Aritzia, Aloe, Aerie, Lululemon, but that's mostly workout. Like, I don't really wear Lululemon like out and about, but that's workout. So Aerie, Aritzia, Aloe, where else? Revolve, Abercrombie. I would say those are my brands that I shop at. Jeans is almost always Abercrombie. They're flattering, they're comfortable, they stretch, but they don't loosen. The amazing shorts and jeans. Any denim comes from Abercrombie almost always, or else I don't like it as much. I always like Abercrombie more. Even if I have a pair of denim shorts or jeans, whatever, from somewhere else and I wear them, I promise you they are not as comfortable as Abercrombie. And then Aloe, I really like for like sweatpants and comfies, like cute comfies. And then Aritzia, I like for basics like t-shirts and tank tops and things like that. I know I'm like kind of old for it, but I also really genuinely do like Brandy. I think their stuff is very, 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 very comfortable. I think it's relatively affordable in comparison to other brands, and it's cute. Like, I'm sorry, but it's cute. So yeah, I would say that is my answer to that question. The next question, which is probably one of my most asked questions like across all platforms, is what do you ask for when you get your hair done? So I'm gonna give a quick shout out. My hairdresser is at Hair by Kaylee B, K-A-L-E-I-G-H, on Instagram and TikTok. She's in Nashua, New Hampshire. And I literally, like, I go home to New Hampshire every few months to get my hair done by her because she is the best ever, like, so incredibly talented. She's been doing my hair for years. I moved to Florida. I had one person in Florida do my hair once, and they destroyed my hair, ruined it, and I will never switch hairdressers again. And of course, now I don't even dye my hair. It's like people who don't know me, they ask what color I ask for when I get my hair dyed. My hair is all my natural color now. It's all virgin hair. So I can't really help you there. But you know what's so funny? So like, if you guys have been following me for a long time, you'll know that I was blonde for a few years. From probably like, I started putting blonde in my hair in like 2017, and I stopped dyeing my hair in 2021. But all through then, I was at least putting some sort of blonde in my hair. And my mom would always say, like, people pay so much money for a brown like your hair. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I want to be, everyone was doing balayage and everyone was blonde. And, you know, it was just like the thing. And my mom would always be like, people pay money for your brown hair. Like, your brown hair is so beautiful. And I just never understood it. And now that I have my brown hair again, I'm realizing, like, one, I look so much more me with it. And two, like, I really do have a very pretty brown color in my hair. Like, it has a lot of dimension to it naturally because it has like red in it, and it's also, it has blonde in it from like being out in the sun, and it's like a very dimensional brown, and I took it for granted and just dyed it and ruined it. But this is your sign to go back to your natural color. Not that if you get your hair done, like, no hate, that's freaking awesome. But if you're only doing it because you feel like you have to, like, I promise you, your natural hair is freaking beautiful. But anyways, what do I ask for? So nowadays, I just go in and I say, trim it up, get rid of all the dead ends, make it healthy, and just long layers with face framing. And this is what I get. So we do, like, technically we do curtain bangs, but we don't go like super short. We go like a little bit above chin length whenever I get them done. And just lots and lots of layers. I just, as a reference, because it's just like, haircuts are tricky because if you have super coarse hair and you go in and ask for the haircut, or if you have like super thin hair and you go in and ask for the haircut, like, it's going to look different on everybody. But I have a lot of fine hair. So like, each individual strand is like very fine, but I have a lot of it. So that's like my hair type, just as a reference. So, and it's like, not that, I don't think, I guess it kind of matters, but I have like definitely not curly hair, but like there's a wave to my hair, but it's getting straighter as it's getting healthier. So I don't know, like when it was more damaged, it was curlier, but I did, like when I was a baby, had like curls. And then obviously as you get older, your hair changes, and my hair was like how it is now, and then I started dyeing it, and then it was like really curly, and now it's like back to how it was when I was like in high school. So I think this is like how my hair really is when it's like healthy and everything. I don't know. I'm going on a tangent. I asked for long layers and face framing. Okay. Next question is favorite tradition you had growing up. Love you. Love you more. I love this question because I really cherish the traditions that I had, and I hold them very close to me and always took them very seriously. Like, if that was what we did every year or every week or whatever, we did it. And if it strayed away from that, like, I'd be so pissed off. Like, I remember when we first stopped doing, like, me and my two siblings doing stockings up on my parents' bed and then going downstairs and opening presents on Christmas. When we stopped doing that, I was, like, so butthurt. Like, I was, like, we were fully grown, but I was the youngest by kind of a lot. And so I wasn't quite ready for it to stop. But we were grown enough, and I was so pissed off when we stopped doing that. Because, like, that, it was Christmas. That's what we do. And obviously things change as you get older. But, like, I just took those traditions so seriously. And I'm trying to think of, like, others that aren't my favorite, because I'm going to talk about my favorite. Oh, okay. Like, on Easter, my dad goes out and hides the Easter eggs, and me and my sister, I don't know if my brother, like, ever participated, but I have no memories of him. He's 10 years older than me. So if he did participate, I probably was pretty young. I'm sure he did at some point, but I always just remember me and my sister doing it. And my dad goes and hides the eggs, and me and my sister go and find them, and, like, that's just, like, a tradition. We still do it, like, and I still take it so seriously. Like, I'm gonna win. I'm gonna find all the eggs. Just things like that. But I have to say that my favorite tradition by far is every Friday night, my family gets pizza. And for a while there, when times were tough and money was tight, because I don't talk about it a lot and I don't go into detail, mostly because it's like, it is my life and my story and my past, but it's also not.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Really, like, my story to tell, because it's kind of like me going and being like, oh, like, I didn't have this, I didn't have that, this was my situation, this was, like, that just feels like almost like a diss to my parents, because, like, they did what they could and they did their best, and, like, I'm not gonna sit here and, like, talk shit on what they did or how they provided, you know, because they did their best. But I will say that there was a lot of times when money was tight and things were hard. And I was very aware of that as a kid. But even when money was tight, we still had pizza in one way or another. Like, we would make it, or, you know, we'd get it at, like, a cheaper place or whatever it was. We always got pizza on Friday nights, or made pizza on Friday nights. Whatever it was, we had pizza on Friday nights. And I would look forward to it, like, all week. Like, it'd be Friday, I'd be like, oh, I can't wait, like, it's pizza night. And I never was much of, like, a go out person. Like, if I hung out with friends, they almost always came over and stuff. So, like, I knew I'd go home from school on Fridays, and I'd be home, and I'd be cozy in my jammies, and I'd eat pizza and probably watch a show or whatever. And I just cherished it so much. Like, I just loved pizza on Friday night. Like, it's pizza night. And I actually don't do that now. I haven't carried it into my adulthood, but I'm sitting here like, why don't I do that? Like, that would be so fun. So maybe I will start bringing that. Oh my God, it's Friday. Maybe I should order a pizza. Ooh, maybe I will get Blaze, actually. Blaze sounds really good. But yeah, I would have to say that's my favorite tradition for sure. The next question is top three pet peeves. Number one, this one is always there at the forefront of this question. If pet peeves or biggest ick or biggest turnoff, any of those questions, my answer is always arrogance. You've heard me say it before. I hate arrogance. Confidence is hot. Arrogance is not. Arrogance is repulsive. I can't even look at you if you're going to be arrogant. Like, I literally want to actually vomit. It irks me to no end. There's like, this happened recently. I was overhearing a conversation about somebody. They were talking about how they are a dancer, and they probably mentioned that they were a dancer like probably four or five times in like one sentence, and then proceeded to say, yeah, and like I have 700,000 followers on TikTok and blah, 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 going into detail about how awesome and famous and they're a dancer and they're famous and they're a dancer and they're famous. And I'm like, I'm overhearing and I'm like, you sound fucking ridiculous. I'm like, respectfully, you're not that fucking cool. And like, I'm not even being a hater. Like, I'm hating on you because of the way you're talking, but I'm not even a hater. Like, that's awesome that you're a dancer. That's awesome that you have a following on social media. I hate how you're talking right now. Like, grow up, literally take a seat. You're not that cool. Like, it just bothers me when people are just like, above all else, they're the greatest, they're the best. I'm just like, God, you are so gross. Like, it's just so gross to me. So that's definitely my first one. I also really, really don't like when people question everything you do. So like, if they're like, oh, what are you having for lunch? I'm like, oh, I'm having tuna salad. They're like, why do you like tuna? I'm like, I just like tuna. I don't know. I just like it. And they're like, well, why do you put salt on it? And I'm like, because I like salt on it. And they're like, why? What does salt do for you? Why do you like salt? Isn't that kind of gross? Why do you like salt? I'm like, I just like salt. And then I put hot sauce in it and they're like, why do you like hot sauce? I'm like, I just like it. People that always are like, why, about me and my decisions. I'm just like, why do you care so much? Like, it's not even like they're trying to make conversation or they're like, oh, like, what else do you put in it? Or what does that do? That doesn't bother me. It's when they're like, why do you do that? Why? And it's almost like they're like talking down to me. They're like, why do you, like, questioning me, doubting. I don't even know. That just gets on my nerves a lot. And then this kind of goes along with it, but I really don't like when people point things out that are obvious. So for example, like when somebody's face turns red because they're embarrassed or they're laughing hard or whatever, and somebody goes, oh, your face is so red. I hate that. Like, they know it's red. They know it's red. You don't have to tell them. It's just going to make them more embarrassed. I hate that. Or I hate when someone like does something and someone points it out. Like, if you trip and you try to just like, you know, play it off and someone's like, oh, did you just trip? It's like, did you really have to call attention to that? Did you really have to? I don't know. It just really irks me when people like point out things that someone maybe might be embarrassed about, or I don't know. Maybe it's a personal thing because I get really offended, but I just really, those are my three pet peeves. And I'm very passionate about that too. Okay, next question is, what do you think makes you a better lover or partner now than before? I really, 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 really like this question because I think about this a lot, because I see a lot of changes within myself as a like lover partner in the dating scene. So I learned a lot through my last relationship because of the breakup. While in the relationship, though, I learned a lot from my partner of the time. And I have to give her credit for that, because although things ended really crazy and I was treated really poorly and things really went awry, I can't sit here and say that I was not treated well during the relationship. And I learned a lot through how I was treated. And I have taken the things that made me feel really good, or that I really appreciated about the other person, or that I felt really supported when they did that to me. I've now taken those and adopted them as my own and carried them into the dating scene. And I just find that I'm a lot more understanding and also a lot more secure within myself, which is huge because then I am able to trust more and be more empathetic and understanding. Sorry, my Omnipod's expiring. And overall, I just think the things that make me better are my ability to not react to things, but be very like, if there's a thought or an issue, I don't put my guard up. I just feel like I've gotten really good at communicating and at expressing how I feel respectfully and understanding other sides and other points of view. And I also think because I have spent so much time working on myself and because I feel so secure within myself and happy within myself and supported within myself, I feel like I'm able to be a very, very giving partner. Whereas before, I think that I was so lost within myself and codependent that I wasn't able to give to my fullest or give to my highest potential. And now I feel like I am, and I feel like I am able to go into the dating scene very sound-minded and level-headed. And because of that, I have found that, I don't know, I think I am just able to feel more secure. I'm an anxiously attached person, and I think I've gotten really good at managing my anxiety about relationships and attachment. And because of that, I feel that I'm able to provide more as a partner while still providing to myself and showing up for myself. Next question. I also get this one a lot. It's favorite tattoo that you have. I love my shark. My shark is always my favorite. I think he's so cute. He's my favorite ever. Love my shark. Short answer. Next question is, how do you explain you have a chronic illness to someone you just met? So I actually don't. Like, I usually don't drop it in the conversation until they ask. So I'll kind of just like go about my day. If I'm eating with them, like I'll just take my insulin and not say anything about it. And I mean, they almost always ask. And additionally, like I wear visible medical devices. So people are pretty aware pretty quickly that there's something. And most of the time people will ask. And then I will say like, oh, I'm a type 1 diabetic. And I'll just leave it there unless they ask more. Because I've found that the bigger of a deal I make it, the bigger of a deal they make it. But if I play it cool, they will too. So like if I go in and I'm like, and say we're getting like dinner or something, it's like a new person. And I'm like, oh, like by the way, I'm a type 1 diabetic. I'm gonna take insulin. I'm gonna like, just cause my blood sugar could go high. And if it goes high, like that's bad. But I don't wanna take too much. And if I'm like explaining it all, they're gonna be like, whoa, like, are you good? Like, that's crazy. And like, yeah, it is a crazy disease. And like, there is a lot that goes into it, but like, it's not like, I don't know. I don't think like in my head, it's not like, ah, because I live it every day. But when I first learned about it, when I first got diagnosed, like it was like, ah, in my head. And when a new person finds out about it, they see it like, oh, what the, like, that's a lot. But I found that if I just play it cool, they will too. Like, they're like, oh, okay. Or like, dang, okay. Like, that's a lot. Okay. But they're not worried. And I'm not worried, and we can just have a fun time. Like, I got it covered. I don't need somebody else worrying too. So how do I explain it? I don't. And if I do, I just very simply, I'm like, oh, I'm a type 1 diabetic. If they're like, what does that mean? I'm like, it's not an autoimmune disease. Basically, I don't produce any insulin. My pancreas is broken. And I leave it there unless we form a stronger connection, and then you can learn more about it. But you don't need to know the ins and outs. Like, I don't need your help, so you don't. I don't need your help, and I don't need you there for safety or I don't need you to know what to do just in case. Like, until you become somebody that's going to be the person that's just in case, you don't need to know any more than surface level. You know, it's not their business. It's like, you might mention to someone like, oh, I have my period, but you're not going to be like, oh, my period's really heavy today and the blood is this color and I'm wearing this type of tampon. And like, you would do that for someone that's like, you know, really close to you. But like, you don't need to go into depth with everyone. And it's like the same idea. Weird analogy, but same idea. Okay, next question is, what are your big three? So I am a Gemini. My rising is Aries and my moon is in Capricorn. Do with that as you wish. I'm not super into astrology. I wish I was. I'm not. I don't really know what any of it means, but I do know that people are always like, you're a Gemini? And then they're like, you don't act like a Gemini. And then they're like, what's your rising? And I'm like, Aries. And they're like, oh, that makes sense. So whatever that means. Okay, next question is, something you want to buy but can't justify paying the amount of money for. Easiest answer ever. I want a Range Rover so bad. I can't justify the money. I can't do it. I've gone car shopping for them multiple times. And every time I'm like, why the fuck? That's so expensive. Like, it's just so stupid to me. Maybe one day. But not now, not anytime soon. Next question is, what are you most afraid of losing? And I am petrified of losing my health. And I've always been petrified of that, actually. I'm scared of dying, but I've kind of learned through like therapy and stuff that it's not so much dying. It's more like illness and suffering and pain that I'm afraid of. And I have always been very cautious about exercise and what I eat and putting on sunscreen and not, you know, having all these harmful chemicals and ingesting this and that. And like, it's always been in my mind. And then whenever I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, it kind of intensified because in a sense, my health was taken from me. I know I'm able to like live and have a life and be healthy, like aside from the diabetes, like in a sense, my health was taken from me. And there's nothing that I fear more than losing it entirely, like becoming bedridden or hospital or something far more consuming. I'm very afraid of that. So I'm afraid of losing my health because I heard somebody say once, it was actually the mother of a type 1 diabetic, and the mother was kind of scolding the type 1 diabetic because she had been really irresponsible caring for herself. And the mom said, if you don't have your health, you have nothing. And that has stuck with me because that is so true. You need your health to live a life, to be happy, to be successful, to wake up. You need your health. And I don't know. I'm very afraid of losing that freedom of being a healthy person. Okay. Next question is, what is your relationship like with your parents? And this is not something that I ever talk about. Again, it's like out of respect for my parents. And also because I know that they watch and listen to my stuff. But what I will say is that I don't think I'm super close with either of my parents. My dad, I have this really strange dynamic with where I like can't look at him without getting sad. I can't even think about it. But for some reason, starting when I was like 8, I just like convinced myself that he was like this old man. And like, sure, he's older now, but like back then he was like not old. He was like, I don't know what, like 50 something. Because my parents are older. Like, as I mentioned, my siblings are older. They were older-ish when they had me. And So I just, like, starting from a really young age, just, like, thought of my dad as this, like, old man. And I have always been so afraid of losing him because I was convinced that he was this old man. And I just, like, get so sad thinking about him because I still see him like that. But now he actually is getting older and he has had health scares. And, like, he definitely, like, him and I butt heads for sure growing up, but for the most part, like, he was, like, just kind of there and there to listen. And he was, I don't know, he was just always there, always sitting there on the couch, always there. And just, like, the comfort of his presence is, like, what he always was. And if I ever, like, couldn't do a sleepover or some stupid frat boy broke my heart and I needed to come home from college, like, whatever it was, like, he'd drive and get me at 2 a.m. Like, he was that parent. And I just see him as this, like, fragile little thing. And it makes me sad. So I have this, like, weird wall up with him because I'm, like, I just am scared to lose him. And so I live my life, like, being cautious. I don't even know. It's the weirdest, it's, like, in my own head, but it, like, prevents me from, like, being close with him because I'm, like, I can't, because if I lose him, like, I don't even know. It's so weird. But that's my dad, but he's amazing and, like, really supportive and a really good listener. And, like, whenever I first came out, he immediately texted me and was just like, whatever makes you happy. Like, he just, throughout any decision in life, was always like, if it makes you happy, do it. And, like, supported me. My mom and I think are very similar. And because of that, continuously butt heads to this day. Also, I have this thing in general, not just with my mom, in general, like, in life, really hate when people are, I kind of mentioned it. It's a pet peeve of mine. I don't like when people are questioning me a lot about my decisions. And my mom does that, and it's because she cares. It's because she wants to know more. But my brain gets annoyed by it, which is something I'm still working on. But my mom is, like, the person I call if I need help. She's that parent. Like, something breaks, I have a question about insurance, whatever it is, like, I call her to ask. She's, like, the smart one. She's the one that, like, knows everything. But I wish my mom and I were closer. I think there's just some things that I don't feel comfortable, like, talking about on the pod that stand in the way. But I'm, like, working on it. It's a lot of it's internal. Again, like, I just have this wall up with my parents, and I don't know if it's just things that happen in childhood or what, but I really don't want it there. I really don't want those walls, but they're there. So I wouldn't say that I'm close with either of my parents, but I love them and I appreciate them for who they are. But I also would be lying if I said that I didn't feel like I am able to spread my wings more when they're not so closely involved in my life, if that makes sense. I just think that I feel a little bit more at peace from a distance. Last question I'm going to do, because I get a lot of questions about this from other type 1 diabetics, is what is your go-to alcoholic bevy? So I'm not a huge drinker, but I will drink socially with friends once in a while. And something I learned is that a lot of mixed drinks taste the same without sugar. So a mojito, for example, tastes the same without sugar. It's just like tangy. Like it tastes like lemonade. It's good. Same with a marg. A marg with no sugar is really good. Like it tastes the same. It's just like tangy and delicious. So if I'm going to get like a mixed drink, it's like at like a restaurant or something, it's going to be a mojito or a marg with no sugar. And sometimes I'll add stevia if they have it, but I like it without anything. And that's not even just like me trying to be like, it's good. Like I promise. Like it's genuinely good. And then if I'm at like a bar and I want a mixed drink, which I normally don't do, but I'll just get a vodka soda, like seltzer water and vodka, and add lime. But like, don't get me wrong, like that's ass. So normally at a bar or something, I order just a seltzer because most seltzers are like 2 or 3 carbs. So my go-tos in general are like seltzers or shots. My favorite alcohol is actually rum, but I'll do vodka. I'll do tequila, but I avoid it, but I'll do it. But yeah, mojitos, margs, both with no sugar, or seltzers or shots. And oh, I really like espresso martinis, but I kind of only when I make them, because I can make them with less or zero sugar versus when you get them out. They're kind of crazy. So that is my answer to that. But I really hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. This was fun. I feel like I got kind of deep with y'all, not gonna lie. So I hope you enjoyed. I love you all so much. And I will talk to you so super soon in the next episode. Bye.